We must make all things according to our instruction. And whereas this morning we have no vestments to wear, and that happens. And let that be for us an exercise of what things could be and what things might well be in the future. We do not know, and as things do appear at the present time, we might be expecting anything in the future. There might be times, for all we know, for all I know, that we may not be able to travel down here or to travel up here from wherever we may be to come to Mass on Sunday. In which case, we sit home and we spend our time in solemn prayer in our family circle, in the house, and do the best we can under those circumstances. We should never be scandalized, and when you look at it, and sometimes we make an oversized fuss over what the priest wears when he's at the altar. And in some places, this is very important to those some people. But after all, what it takes to say Mass. And we may have to be satisfied with saying Mass on a stump, for all I know. And we might as well learn to take that. We've gone from step one to step two. Now, are we going from step two to step three? And let us understand that to accept things as God demands them of us. And also, this is a good lesson for Father Francis to see, you know, how things can be. And you just simply, when in doubt, you do the best you can. The important thing is that the sincerity of our hearts and our consciences is always there. And we can only give to God only what God allows us to give to Him. And we must do this cheerfully and honestly and with all humility. I myself came and walked away from, and I'm a man of great ceremony. People might not believe that, but I'm a man of big ceremony, and I love a big ceremonial in a church. And I come from a very large church, a very large parish. And it was quite an interesting transfer from that to having my first Christmas away from that to set Mass in a beer parlor. And I was happy to be able to do that. And so this is what Almighty God wants. This is what Almighty God gets from us, the best that we've got to offer. And we do so with happiness and joy in our hearts. August the 15th, as you know, is the Feast of the Blessed Mother, the Assumption, and is a holy day of obligation. And I know that for most of us here, you will not be able to go to Mass on that day. Then I think and I suggest, as you know, that you spend at least 1 hour on that day in saying the rosary, doing some spiritual reading, and spending an hour with God as best you can in your homes. For the rest, however, and in brief, perhaps, this morning, I recommend to you that you read the essays, whatever you want to call them, that are in the bulletin for the past few times. And unfortunately, we did not get to do part three of this present presentation concerning the Pharisee and the publican. And I want you to kindly keep these bulletins and put them together when you get to part three the next time I arrive, and to study them together and to read them all at one time. and to get from this the message and the lesson that is presented to us each time and very carefully in the bulletin. In today's bulletin, we draw attention to a renewed, whatever you want to call it, I don't know exactly, should we call it interest or desire or whatever. It seems that there is a renewed focus, can I use the word focus, on the Holy Eucharist. And for some, this might mean that it is a move in the right direction. Well, perhaps it is a move in some kind of direction. Whether it's totally correct or not, I'm not able to say. But the whole language that is presented to us concerning the Eucharist is that, and this is what makes it doubtful, this is what makes it dubious, is that the Eucharist, according to this new, this renewed interest, seems to be that the Christ comes down and dwells in the host. That sounds very good, but it's not right. The host is not a reliquary, but the divinity. Christ does not come down to fit inside of a cup so that he can extend himself to us. The thing that we have to understand, and whoever it is, and we have to be very cautious in ferreting that out and not let language confuse us. When the priest mentions the words of consecration, there is no more bread. This is the substance, the sum and total of our holy religion. And when the priest gives us communion, he is not giving us a container that holds Christ. The priest does not give us any bread. And we have to understand this as best we can. It is a mystery. We acknowledge that it is a mystery. But there is no more bread. And in this business that they're trying to revive, you know, after the baby was thrown out with the bath, we were trying to pick up the pieces, and it doesn't work. And you might pray also for the welfare of things. Our focus has been on priests lately. Well, that's important. Rather than judge, let's pray. The important thing that maybe we are building a monument or a house of cards, in that we're all expecting the present Pope to die. Which is imminent, we know that. The man is ailing. Pray for him regardless. I know there are some who say, I cannot pray for that man. We have to pray for him. If there's something wrong there, that's between him and God, not between him and me. And if I put it between him and me, then I will be the one they will have to answer to God for him. But the thing that I want to point out is that there's very strong talk, that after he's gone, we'll probably have a committee in his place. And if they do elect one, that he will just simply be an ordinary bishop who lives in Rome, who has the title of Pope, which means no more than if I, that you would sit down and elect me Pope. Be just about as important as that. That's where we are, my beloved people. We have been talking about this for a long time. And we've been talking about world conditions for a long time. But we have been somewhat, and we still are, very likely, we still are very much like the person who's got a very tragic book that he's reading. But while he's reading this book and entering the contents of that book, and he's living the tragedy of that book, but he's sitting in his easy chair drinking a cool drink. You know? That's where we have been and still are. And this is going to bust, this is going to blow up in our faces, and we're going to wonder what happened. We're not going to be ready for it. And the only way to get ready for this, my dear people, is prayer. Strong prayer, worthy prayer, a good life, a life of penance and mortification. We do not know, nor can we predict, what will be this afternoon. And we have to place all of this in God's hands and ask Almighty God to protect us into our Blessed Mother's hands, and ask her to protect us in St. Joseph's hands, and ask him to protect us in the same way that he protected the family on the flight into Egypt. This is where we are, and this is where our faith is. And we must grasp this and hang on to it, and we must learn to turn loose of the things that are unimportant. We must learn to live the life of humility. We must learn to live the life of poverty. We must learn to live the life of sincerity and put things aside that simply have no significance anymore. Never have, but now more than ever. We are living in unparalleled times, and no one can deny that. And regardless of what we hear or what we find or what we read or what we know, the only way to give us the peace of mind is prayer, and more prayer. And our young folks do not know prayer, do not know, they cannot comprehend what's going on, and they try to sublimate their worries by entering into a life of fun, a life of forgetfulness, a life of, I'll worry about that tomorrow. It can't be. The problem is today. So let us handle it today by our own peace of mind, by our own peace of soul, and by our own good Catholic life. We are down to a handful of people. And the only thing we can boast, or hope for, not boast, but the only thing we can hope for is that, regardless of all of these quotations and quotations and quotations about whatever it is they're trying to prove, throw all that aside. When you see a list of, when you see something coming to you in the mail, there's a whole raft of quotations, throw it away. Or send it back to the sender. That means nothing. It proves nothing. The only thing that we've got is our faith, that when Christ comes a second time, all we can say is, here I am, Lord. That's all. It's not easy. It's difficult. It can be very distressing. It can be very discouraging. It can be very frightful, especially when we have young ones to worry about. What is this world today got to offer our youth? And it is really a thing to be concerned about. So Let us not sit prim and comfortable in our easy chairs, sipping on our cool drinks, as we're reading about all these problems that are about. We have got, instead of fantasizing what's in the book, let us fantasize on what's going on outside. What's going on in the lightning array is going on at all in all angles. I know this may not be a very enlightening sermon this morning, but it is something that we need to think about and to churn about in this, in our minds, about what we're listening and what we're doing and how we must live. Our bulletins are trying to tell us how to do it, as weakly as they do. It's certainly not all that presentation, it's not all that much. It's unfortunate that you must have Mass only once a month. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate even that where we have Mass only once a week in places. And we must be careful that we do not let the absence of the Mass in some way affect the spirituality of the spiritual condition of our souls. The spiritual condition of our souls is not so much what takes place at the altar by the priest once a month. The spiritual condition of our souls is determined by what is going on in our hearts. I am the one who conditions myself for sanctity. You each are the ones who must condition yourselves for sanctity. And God wants us to be saints, nothing less. And if we're not saints, we are failures. We're complete failures. And the conditions of the world, whether a priest wears silk robes or not, has nothing to do with whether I become a saint or not. And I have got to work at it. I've got to study ways of doing it. I've got to offer to God myself completely, totally, and absolutely. With that, my beloved people, let us go forward and let us pray for those who do not see things as we see them. Let us not judge. Let's judge no man and be not judged. But for the grace of God, what would any one of us have done in similar circumstances, wherever? So may God bless you, may God keep you, and may God give you all the fulfillment of His goodness, my beloved people.